the firm foundation. This is based on a song in our songbooks, number 214 in Sacred Selections for the Church. I don't know how many of you knows this song, or if you don't know it, it doesn't matter. I want to use the words of this song to progress through our lesson tonight. I've done this in the past on various songs, and I intend to do that tonight. You know, we can teach by song. The Apostle Paul said, I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. When we sing these songs, as Brother Terry has led us in these wonderful songs tonight, we should listen to the words that we're singing. We should pay attention to the words and know what they mean, and have them be a part of our heart's outreach to God tonight as we seek to praise Him in song and also in sermon. In Isaiah 28 and verse 16, the Bible says, Therefore thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I lay in Zion. Now Zion is another word for Jerusalem. And so he was saying prophetically that I will lay in Zion or Jerusalem a stone, or for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. I want us to consider that tonight, because we as the members of the body of Christ are built upon a sure foundation. The foundation that we're built on is Jesus Christ and the apostles. We have a thus saith the word of God for all that we do in our worship and in our lives. And so we are building our lives, as Matthew 7 and verse 24, Jesus said, Therefore whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. My friend, when we build our lives upon Jesus Christ, when we build our lives and our families upon what God says, we're building on a foundation that is sure and steadfast and that cannot be moved. And so we have hope that our goals and desires will succeed as we press onward and upward to our heavenly goal. So tonight, let's look together at this song and the stanzas, the chorus, as we read together the song, and then I want to comment on these verses as we talk. The song begins by saying, How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in His excellent word. My friend, what we say and what we do as a member of the body of Christ should be found, the reasons for it and the authority for it should be found in the Bible. And so when we come together upon the Lord's Day, when we come together to break bread, when we come together to sing and to pray and to teach and to give and to commune, we're doing these things because God said to. These things are something that God wants us to do in worship to Him. When we marry and raise a family, when we love our spouse and we love our children, and we bring up our children in the training and nurture of the Lord, we're doing that because God's Word says to do that. When we help the afflicted, when we reach out into the poor, when we help those that are sick or those that are afflicted with the things of this world, we're doing that because God says to. And so our lives are built upon a foundation that cannot be moved. Jesus said, The words that I speak unto you, They are spirit and they're life. And Jesus said that His words would not pass away, even though the heavens and the earth shall pass away. My words shall not pass away. And so this Bible that we are living today, that we are reading and studying today, and we're searching out to find diligently those things that please God, this is the same book that was written over 2,000 years ago and will stand the test of time and will be here upon the footstool of God when Jesus comes back. And so it's something firm. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in His excellent word. My friend, our faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In Acts chapter 4, beginning at verse 9, the apostle Peter was being examined because of some good deeds that he and John had done. And he says, "If we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by Him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Peter and John had done their works through the authority of Jesus. God gave them the power and the authority to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to preach the gospel of the kingdom. And so their authority came from Jesus. And my friend, there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We must be saved to avoid the wrath of God. We must be saved to avoid eternal damnation in hell. We must be saved in order to go home and be with Him in heaven in the after a while. And so we must be saved in Jesus. And He, my friend, is our foundation. We can build upon Jesus. What He taught was truth. What He practiced was righteousness. And so therefore, if we want a true and righteous life, we can build upon Jesus. Matthew 7:24, "Therefore whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock." And so my friends, let's build upon that rock. Let's build on that firm foundation, that sure foundation that cannot be moved. Next it says, "What more can He say than to you He has said, to you who for refuge to Jesus have fled?" My friend, the only revelation that we have is in the Bible today. God will not give another revelation. God will not give another sign. But we have the sign of Jesus Christ, who was 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth, being raised from the dead by the power of God unto a holy resurrection. And my friend, He is now seated at the right hand of God to make intercession for you and I. And so He has said what He's going to say. If we reject what's taught in the Bible, there remains no more sacrifice for sin. Jesus said in John 12 and verse 48, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word hath one that judgeth him. The word which I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." And so, my friend, we can flee for refuge to Jesus, and He's not going to say anything more. If you're a sinner, my friend, today, if you are out of the ark of safety, if you have not entered into covenant relationship with God, Jesus is not going to say anything different than what He said 2,000 years ago. Jesus told the apostles before He left and went back to the Father, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. My friend, that is the same revelation to you today. If you must be born into God's family, if you are to do that, you must do that by the formula that Jesus set down in Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. Matthew 17 and verse 5. And other places. And so he's not going to say anything more. Verse 2 says, "Fear not, I am with thee. O be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will still give thee aid." My friend, we don't have to be afraid in this life. I know there are things that cause us to have doubts and fears, but we don't have to be afraid because God is living and active. His Word is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Hebrews 4 and verse 12. We don't have to be dismayed. We don't have to be afraid because God is our God. Not anything of this world, not anything man-made, not something that someone invented, but God, who is from everlasting to everlasting. The salvation of God is in Christ. And so we don't have to be afraid. He said, "I will still give thee aid." Hebrews 13 and verse 5, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." My friend, we have God as our aid. We have Jesus as our helper. We have the Bible as our guide. We have the church as our family. God has given to us. No wonder Peter said that God has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him who hath called us to glory and virtue. "Fear not, I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand upheld by my gracious, omnipotent hand." My friend, God can cause us to stand even though we may be weak, though we may be unable to carry on ourselves. God can pick us up and cause us to stand. God can cause us to move forward if we'll trust him. You know, a bad thing is to stand still. A still worse thing is to digress. We must progress forward in Christ, in the church, in things eternal. And God's the very one to help us do that. He'll help us. He'll cause us to stand. He'll uphold us by his gracious, omnipotent hand. Hebrews 4 and verse 15, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain help," or may obtain mercy, "and find grace to help in time of need." My friend, we don't have to slack backwards. We don't have to move backwards. We can move forward in Christ. We can come boldly to God because we are a part of his family. We are his creation. We are his children, and so therefore God's love is manifested to us in the person of Jesus, in the pages of the Bible, in the workings of the church. Isn't it wonderful to be a Christian today and to be called a child of God? We can come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. My friend, when we have needs here upon the earth, we should go to God. we should go to Christ. I know that many times the last thing we do is fall upon our knees and pray. It should be the first thing that we do. We should approach God through Jesus Christ and find the help that we need in this life and certainly in the life to come. The next verse, verse 3, says, "When through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace all sufficient shall be thy supply." Dear friends, there are two types of people in this world, and that's those who are going through fiery trials, or there are those that will. There's trials to be had. There's afflictions to endure. There's pains to suffer in this life. But dear friends, won't it be worth it all? There's an old song that used to be sung years ago. "It'll be worth it all, my friend. It'll be worth it all." Everything that we do in this life, every little thing that we do for the Lord, that we do for someone else, that we study God's Word, that we go to church, every little thing will be worth it, my friend. And there won't be anything that we'll look back on with regret and say, "I wish I hadn't done that for the Lord." No, it'll be worth it all when we can go home and be with the Lord. In 1 Peter 4 and verse 12, Peter said, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." Dear friend, Jesus suffered while he was here upon the earth. Many times, no doubt, he went hungry or he went thirsty. He went destitute. He went without shelter. He didn't have the pleasantries of life that we now enjoy. And yet he was the Son of God going through all of this for us. Is it any small wonder that we would endure a little bit of suffering in this life ourselves? The Apostle Paul said, "Yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Dear friend, it's coming. It's coming our way. And we have to endure. We can endure. Yea, we must endure through him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his precious blood. Paul says in Romans 5 and verse 3, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." And so here Paul says that tribulations work something positive in our lives. Tribulation works patience. We learn patience through our tribulations. We gain experience by our patience and tribulations. We receive hope because of endurance. And my friend, no one can take hope away from you. Paul said in Romans chapter 8, "For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we do hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." And so we have fiery trials. We have our pathway leading into those sometimes. But God's grace is sufficient, and he'll supply our needs. Next, it says, "The flame shall not hurt thee. I only design thy dross to consume, and thy gold to refine." Dear friend, our faith is as gold unto God. It's as gold in value unto us. We must have faith in order to please God. And our faith helps us to overcome trials and tribulations. And it's as gold in the eyes of God. Daniel 3 and verse 17, we read the story where that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was consigned to enter into the flame of fire because they would not worship Nebuchadnezzar's image. They would not fall down when the music was heard and pay homage to this God of man. And here they say, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. But if not, be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. I hope that all of us could have that resolve tonight, that we're not going to serve anything man-made. We're not going to fall down to it. We're not going to pay obeisance to it. But our allegiance is to God. Our service is to Christ. Our work is through the church so that God can be glorified through Christ forevermore. My friend, the flame's not going to hurt us. God will purge us as silver tried in the fire seven times, pure. Verse 4 says, e'en down to old age, all my people shall prove my sovereign, eternal, unchangeable love. My friends, we have tested God in our lives. We have proved God in our lives because of the things that we've endured, and God's help has always been there to help us overcome in our lives, to help our children to overcome, to help our mothers and fathers overcome. And so we prove God's sovereign, eternal, unchangeable love. Romans 8 and verse 35, Paul said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation do that, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We're accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. My friend, God will love us to the end, and he will love us with an everlasting love if we'll seek to serve him in this life. John 13 and verse 34, Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. Dear friend, our love should exceed the love of the world. Our love should be measured by the love of Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter said, seeing ye have purified your souls in obedience through the gospel to unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Our love for each other should be a fervent love. It should be an unfeigned love. It should be a precious love. And we'll prove God's love. And when hoary hairs shall their temples adorn, like lambs they shall steal in my bosom be born. Dear friends, when you start getting older and the gray hair starts appearing and you have the temptations and trials of old age, even then God will bear us as little lambs to his bosom, and we can be with him as the sheep of his flock. David said in Psalm 23 and verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Isn't it wonderful to know that God's got a mansion prepared for us? Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled, John 14 and verse 1. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. My friends, let's build upon this solid foundation. And finally, verse 5 says, the soul that on Jesus still leans for repose, I will not desert to his foes. My friend, Jesus will never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He'll never turn us over to the enemy, but he'll keep us. He'll bear us up, as it were, on angels' wings, and we can dwell with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Lord, we can do that, my friend, tonight in the church, because the church is a heavenly institution. It's been brought down from heaven to earth, established here upon the footstool of God, and it contains the souls of his children awaiting their time for eternity, where they can put off this flesh and be clothed upon from that house which is from God. John 13 and verse 23, the Bible says, there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom he loved. I believe that to be the Apostle John. And John was very near and dear to the Lord. And so he was leaning upon Jesus' breast at that time. Finally, that soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never forsake. My friends, God won't let us down. He'll keep us. He'll present us faultless. Jesus will present us faultless before his heavenly Father one day. In Genesis 28 and verse 15, God was speaking to Jacob, and he said, behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. My friend, God won't leave us either. Jesus won't leave us either. He'll accomplish in our lives those things that are well-pleasing in his sight. In Isaiah 2, 2 and 3, it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. And many people will go and say, come ye and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord's house, to the house of the God of Jacob, for he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. My friend, the word of the Lord still goes from Jerusalem today. That spiritual Jerusalem, that spiritual Israel, that is from God. If you're a child of God tonight, rejoice with me in this firm foundation upon which we're built. If you're not a child of God, build your life upon Jesus. Build your life upon God and upon what he says, and things won't go wrong for you. Paul says, now we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. God loves you that much, and God's willing to save you through Jesus, his Son, but it's nothing but the blood of Jesus will do. Will you turn to Jesus tonight? Brother Terry has a song selected that we're going to stand and sing now. If you need to respond to the gospel's call, walk down this aisle, give me your hand and say, Brother Newell, I want to be a Christian. And we'll work with you to do those things that God has for you to do as together we stand and as we sing.